Just before I offer a prayer, Peter says, they're not drunk, it's only 9 o'clock. Why 9 o'clock? Why not 5 o'clock? It's only 5 o'clock, they're not, or it's only 4 o'clock, they're not drunk. Turns out that they, on feast days, they broke their fast at 10. So it might have meant something if it were 11 o'clock in the day, because they'd had a whole hour to drink by then. But no, 9 o'clock, it's too early to start drinking. So as we prepare to fill ourselves with the Spirit, let us pray. Empowering Spirit, come among us this day and set our souls on fire. Put your words in our mouths that we might tell the story of love, loss, and redemption. The story of how, while we were far off, God came to embrace us and welcome us home. In the name of the resurrected one, we offer this and all our prayers. Amen. I know we were just praying and you had your eyes closed, but I want you to close them again for a moment. I want you to open yourself to the movement of the Spirit around you. It might not be a nudge or a pinch, but maybe it's a subtle change in the air around you. Maybe it's a warm breeze or a cool one, a warming inside and out. For a moment, let the Holy Spirit embrace you. Let it fill you as you take a deep breath. Now, with your eyes still closed, I want you to picture the space around you. Picture the space you are in and all of the people. As you have felt the Spirit move in and through and around you, I want you to imagine that same Spirit surrounding your neighbors. It surrounds them with flame or water or light, whatever you imagine the Spirit to be. Embrace that presence as we continue in this place. You can open your eyes now. So why is today so special? There's cake, special day. Decorations, well done to our decorators who were here yesterday. Not done by decoration fairies as we often think, but by the good and hard work of people like Larry and Doug. So thank you to them for all that work. Today's a special day because it's Pentecost. It's like the biggest day of the year. Well, what about Christmas? What about Easter? Well, yeah, big too. But this is not just any other beautiful, awesome, fiery day. It's our spiritual birthday. A day where we're born out of what was into what might yet be. More than that, today marks the fulfillment of a promise. Not long ago, as in the reading that Julian read, Christ told his disciples that he would not leave them orphaned, that when he goes, he would send someone with them. They wouldn't travel alone. We just heard these words read, that Christ is sending an advocate from the Father, the Holy Spirit. I got to get on that. Christ, the Word incarnate. He might be gone from the world, but the Holy Spirit, holy wisdom, the holy light is on its way. More than that, it's present with us right now. This is what people were celebrating on that day. This is what people were witnessing to on that first Pentecost. People were excited. They were being baptized. They were embracing one another. And they were proclaiming boldly and loudly their faith in the risen Christ. Why can't we be like that? Why aren't we walking the streets? What are we doing in here? Why aren't we walking the streets and shouting, proclaiming loudly? This is the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ, the great love of God for creation. Well, the people of the church in those first days saw their future very differently from how we might see ours. Our future, more often than not, seems uncertain. Often we look into our past, and it's there that we see our joy. It's hard for us to be joyful when it's there where we see our joy, behind us, our times of celebration behind us. In a very real way, it can feel like we're moving from a place of hope, what was, to one of fear, what is unknown, uncertain. For those founding groups of the church, it was a very different kind of journey. Their past, from the time of the death of their brother Christ, has been filled with danger, where sharing their faith is a risk in and of itself. Now, their future was still pretty grim. They would be persecuted, thrown in jail, even killed for their faith in Christ. But they didn't know that was coming. What they knew in that moment, on that day, was that they were surrounded by others who eagerly followed Christ. Surrounded by the Holy Spirit. Holy fire. Regardless of what their future held, for these people, on that day, they were moving from a place of fear to a world of hope. They were present at the baptism of our faith, and so it seemed like the only thing that laid before them was a future. They were just at the starting line, just at the beginning. Everything laid before them. For us, it's hard to imagine a future, what the church might look like moving forward. The truth is that the Holy Spirit is calling the church to rediscover itself, renew itself, not just us, but the whole church. The problem is that the Spirit has been after us for quite some time, and now it's calling to us, pleading with us, that still small voice. But it's not like we haven't been trying. We've just been relying on what we know, trying to take what has worked and then try and apply it to the now. When I think again about those first days of the church, when I think about the hope they must have had for the future, I can't help but wonder if in the midst of all that hope, there was still some hesitation, some trepidation. Even though their movement was new and growing and filled with life, they were still marching towards the unknown. They were leaving behind something that was familiar, something that was comfortable, to follow that Holy Spirit to uncharted territory. We're actually living in a very similar situation. We've been called by the Spirit to be the church in a world that has changed around us. Now, one of the quick solutions to this problem is to just change with the world, to match what culture is as it moves forward. But doing this just puts us in the same place that we're already in. The Holy Spirit is calling us to figure out what we might be and what we might become. But if we choose to follow the world, how can we ever reach our full potential? How can we discover who we truly are when we're relying on the world for our reflection? Like our first century brothers and sisters, we have been called to a place that is unfamiliar and altogether uncomfortable. But like our brothers and sisters, we stand on the brink of something amazing. We stand again every day, every year, at the birth of the church. A rebirth, really. This year, the board has called us to begin a visioning process. It's a process where we look at who we were, who we are, and strive together to find a way to follow Christ. We have something called a visioning team that has been given the job of drawing out these elements, asking us hard questions as we discern our gifts and our passions and how best we might serve the body of Christ. We will trip. We will fall. We will struggle because, you know what, our goal isn't clear. Not because we're not trying, but because a vision for the future, where we're going, only presents itself when we have a firm understanding of where we've been and who we are. So how do we draw something when we don't know what it looks like? How can we map out a future that we can't see? Kind of like the beginning of today's message. I asked you to close your eyes. I asked you to imagine the Holy Spirit. What's the Holy Spirit look like? We've seen all kinds of images of what it might look like. Light, doves, fire, flames, wind, sound, warmth, heat. We all probably saw something different when we closed our eyes and felt the Holy Spirit moving in and through and around us and moving in and through and around our neighbors. But at the same time, we were still seeing the same thing, the Holy Spirit. We saw it moving just in different ways. So how will we be as we find our way into the future? How will we be led by this holy, awesome thing? Will we be called upon to change drastically to serve our radical host, Christ? Or will we remain very much the same, but with a clear understanding of our call and our mission? In answering the call of the Holy Spirit, we walk boldly into a future that is unknown, uncertain, and yet we are certain. Because with the Holy Spirit as our guide, as hard a road as it might be, no matter how unfamiliar the path might be, how uncomfortable it might be, God is with us and we are never alone. As we celebrate this holy day, this Pentecost day, as we welcome the fire of the Holy Spirit into our lives, let us take a moment and reaffirm our faith. I invite you now to turn in Voices United number 918 as we read together a new creed. I'll give you a moment to find it if you want to use your hymn book. Let us offer this together. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.